and I'll mention those later. But obviously, Pastor is back this morning, and we thank the Lord for that. He's feeling well. He's been here all weekend. He's not healthy yet, all right? I just want to say we need to continue to pray for him while the antibiotics continue to do the rest of its work. The COVID has passed, and that's good, and I'm sure he'll give us a further update later, but we're thanking the Lord for that. I hope you picked up a bulletin. There are a number of things that we're in the middle of doing right now. If you came through the main lobby, you probably saw all those sign-up sheets out there. I hope you did. On the table, that is for our church picnic, which is now just a couple of weekends away, Saturday the 20th. And so we need some help. We need some folks who can help bring us some food. We need some folks that will be willing to help work that day. And we need some dessert competition entries, so you know who you are. A couple of ladies have told me they're searching old cookbooks and recipe boxes. So I think somebody's beginning to take this seriously. I, for one, am looking forward to that. I'm happy to hear it. And so, ladies, if you have a dessert, husbands, if you know your wife has that dessert, you know the one she never makes? The one she used to make all the time? The one you can still taste, but you don't know why she stopped making it? And if you ask her why, she tells you why, and you don't want to hear that answer? this is the time to remind her. Now, listen, sweetheart, always start with sweetheart. You're doing it that Saturday for the Lord, right? For the Lord. Good. And some of the husbands are saying, yeah, I know what dessert that is. And cornhole players, if you're going to enter the cornhole tournament, there's a place to sign up for that. So please take advantage of that. You also probably noticed that the other side of the lobby is getting filled with school supplies and some of the things that the Tabernacle Children's Home has asked us to bring to them. Today is the last day to participate in that. So if you've brought something or you have it at the house, please bring it tonight, set it over there with those other things, and we'll deliver it this week. If you didn't and you want to participate in another way, you can drop an offering and the plate on the way out and just mark your envelope as school supplies or Tabernacle, and we'll make sure that it gets attributed the right way. I think those are all the announcements I have, so let's praise the Lord this morning. Hymn number 27. We're going to sing songs about the Lord Jesus and our worship and praise for him today. So let's start at hymn number 27. In a minute, we'll turn the page and sing a even more familiar song. But we'll begin here. Let's stand together as we worship the King.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his honor.
Thank you.
Easterlings have brought some family with them today. We're glad that you're here. I went back to get acquainted. They remembered me. As soon as I saw her, I said, this must be Joan's daughter. Has to be. And we're so glad that they're here today. Colby's back this morning. Glad to see you here. See some faces I don't recognize this morning. So if this is your first visit with us, or maybe it's your first time back in a very long time, would you do us the favor of reaching into the pew in front of you and grabbing one of these connection cards? Fill it out. You can drop it in the offering plate on the way out. We'd like to have a record of your visit. We promise we're not going to send swarms of people to come see you. We just want to know that you are here and send you a thank you note for coming this morning. As we look to the Lord in prayer, as I mentioned, we have a number of folks that we're praying for. We're still praying for Pastor as he continues to get stronger and to recover. Nanette Balz has been dealing with what sounds like a terrible ear infection over the last couple of days. She's been in and out of the emergency room and had a very frustrating day yesterday, but she's home right now. Her daughter is with her. She's still dealing with some fever, though it's beginning to come down. Pain, inflammation, both in her head and in her neck. And she has a doctor's appointment scheduled for tomorrow morning, so let's pray for Nanette and for ease from discomfort at this time. Mark is home. He's been dealing with a blood pressure issue. He's got another issue that's related to inflammation, apparently due to the way that he sits or his posture at his desk. So we want to be in prayer for Mark. He's home under medication this morning. Gigi is dealing with COVID, so we're asking the Lord to help her. Jacob and Brianna will be traveling home today, so let's ask the Lord to give them safety as they come back after the wedding in California. Wayne and Diane Hudler both are COVID positive right now, and as all of you know who are family members here, that's particularly concerning for Diane with her other issues, so let's be in prayer for them. The Shavers aren't here this morning. Tracy called me yesterday and said during that storm that blitzed through here in the middle of the day, what she described as a tree-sized branch fell and took out part of one of the rental homes. Gary actually went over this morning with a big saw to help them get it down, but they're dealing with that. So let's pray for them, not only for that need of getting it done, but safety physically as they do what they need to do. We know that Jimmy's been dealing with some heart issues, and so let's ask the Lord to watch over them. Catherine Spoon's not here today, just fatigue and not feeling well, so let's be in prayer for her. Don's still not back, Ira's still not back, Vera's still not back. So we have a lot of folks who need our prayers. So all right, so Tina tomorrow to find out whether or not she has hip surgery, but it's good to see her and Dee here this morning. We praise the Lord for allowing you to be here today, and we're going to be praying for that tomorrow. So a lot to pray for in addition to all of the other names on the prayer list that are in your bulletin. And if I have missed your name, forgive me, the Lord knows, and Pastor's going to come, and he's going to pray for those, and he's going to pray for others that we're aware of. And throughout the week, let's keep that prayer list close so that we can lift one another up before the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we lift our hearts up to you. Our eyes are bowed in respect and admiration and worship. We pray that you would hear our prayers, Lord. Our nation is in a mess, and we need your intervention. We pray, Lord, for your protection and safety for our country, for all those that serve in the government, in the police departments, and the militaries. We ask your protection on them and your blessings. We pray now for this service. We have a number of our members that are sick and in need and need a touch from you as you gave to me, that we might be rallied, be able to be back in the house of the Lord and serve. And bless this service today. Bless Ab Thomas and his family that they have to travel back to Ohio today. And give them safety, we pray, and help them to be alert on the road and supply their needs. We thank you so much for what we've learned from Brother Ab here in these three sessions that he spoke to us. And so, Lord, I'm stirred to want to do more for you. I want to be a better teacher, better pastor. And I want to have your power. We want to see people saved. And so we ask you to help us to keep the gospel going forth and to disciple those that believe. And help us to have a burden in the children's ministry to reach these young people. So, Lord, bless today because we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Continue our singing by turning to number 241. 241, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. The world is a lonely place, and there comes a moment when all of us recognize we need a friend, a real friend, and not just somebody who lives next door or who calls our name, but somebody who genuinely cares for us. So let's stand together. We're going to sing this hymn. We're going to sing the first. We'll sing the second, and then the last, 241.
Jesus,
Jesus never fails.
Amen.
Jesus never fails. I try to be a good friend, but sooner or later I'm going to let you down, right? In spite of my best efforts, but he never fails. Let's sing about that this morning. We'll sing all three stanzas. Try that first verse again.
Oh,
turn it over to Brother Ab Thomas now. Master Club Ministry, he's the creator and developer of this program for over 50 years. It just gets better and better and better. One reason it gets better and better is because the Bible truths it teaches are unchanged. And he builds on them to find better ways to get the message across, to motivate churches to have teachers who want to teach boys and girls how to be saved and how to live for the Lord and avoid all the troubles and trials and problems that people go through. I'm one of those that broke the statistic mold. My wife and I got saved at 24 years of age. We would have gotten saved between 4 and 14 if somebody had given us the gospel and really explained it. My wife and I got saved the first time we went to an independent Baptist church and heard a preacher explain the gospel and preach it. And God saved us and put a burden in our heart to tell others the glorious message. Brother Ab's been telling this message up and down the road for 54 years. Come on and take over and say what God's laid on your heart, brother. Thank you for being here. I want you to live, be healthy, strong, and have you back in a few years.
All right. If you'll be here, I'll be here. I better not say that. Got a few years on you, Pastor. This is Paul, our young man, and we had three children, and then 7 years later, God graced our home with Paul Thomas. Down syndrome, but he's overcome so much, and we work with him, but he has put a lot into it. So we team preach. So he's going to start off for 8 or 10 minutes here, and then I'm going to finish the message, all right? And so anybody can do that if they practice and love God, right? And just pour their heart out. So listen to him, and then when he's through, I jump right in there before y'all go home. See, here we go.
Thank you, Pastor. Let me preach today. My message today is everything just thing. In Luke chapter 17, the Bible gives the story of 10 lepers. 10 were healed, but only one did the same. Only one. And the book continues to say, one of them, he saw that we were healed, coming back with a lot of love by God. And Bible says, everything, same thing, for it is the will of God, it is Christ Jesus restoring you. Bible says, same thing, give it. Deepen it, it's God's will. I am thankful, Jesus is my Savior. I'm thankful for my dad. He's saved me. My mom, she feed me. I got that. My family, I have two brothers and two sisters in Florida. My pastor is my hero. I love pastor. David is a pretty God. Father said, and one of them, he saw what he healed when he came back. The Lord was glorified God. James presented, if we worship God in 4:18, there are not found that return to give worship God to save his stranger. All 10 were healed of leprosy. But in the Lord in 17, and Jesus said, there are not 10 clans, but where are the 9? Now, what deepening is our will. And deepening, if we die, that be deepening is eternity. Is the world, is pretty dark. Bible says, be kind one to other, care to the heart, forgive one to other, even as God, for Christ's sake, that hath forgiven you. God rightly, that hath the rule of life. When you are good, you can. By all of me, you can. In all the way, you can. In all the places, you can. At all the time, you can. To our people, you can. And Lord, no, you can. Number one, deepening is God's will, for it is the will of God. If we die, that means if we other, this thing, in how we ought to live, is time, it is the world. Be kind one to other. Be kind to children. Be kind to unsaved children. Help him. And know about God. God has been kind to me. God didn't run my so bad. I can't sell to the Lord. I can't give my tax money. I can't pray. I can't sing to the Lord. I can't help dad, I can't train. I can't work with kids in math club. I help coach for a basketball team. I can't still be telling children. I love children. Deepening is our will. Deepening. It's our way, it's a way for us to live. The way, deepening is a lot of sacrifice or offering. Bible says our offering is sacrifice or offering. Bible says our offering is sacrifice, thanksgiving, and we'll call upon the name of the Lord. Bible says I'll use this thing. Paul said positive things to others all the time. Paul said give things always. Paul said unto God to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you go at the Lord, give me what? Give things. When? Always. For what? For all to you, whom unto God, and also to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, thankfulness is a way that God wants us to live. Be thankful, everybody. Please, be thankful. Thank God for the relationship. That's Jesus. He wants to make a choice for us. James 3:13. Giving himself for us, Ephesians 5:2. To be sin for us, James 3:5:21. Giving himself for our sin, Galatians 1:4. Giving himself for me, James 20. And on self bear our sin, Peter 2:24. Christ died for our sin, John 15. Thank God to give a eternal life. Amen. So, my message is this. Deepening is our will. Deepening is please God. It is time. It is the world. dampening. It's our way. It is a way for us to live. Dampening. The life sacrifice. Our offering. Thank God for grace of the ball. It's Jesus. Now, here's the last one. Give thanks a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's giving Jesus Christ his Son. And give thanks a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's giving Jesus Christ his Son. Thank you, Dad.
Hey, thank you, honey. Love you.
Love you, Dad.
Good message. All right, we're back to our message now on everything. In everything, give thanks. Wow, how much does that cover? Well, look back to the verses that Paul started off with the 10 lepers in Luke 17. If you don't have it yet, look it up there, Luke 17. And I want to show you two of the verses just to get us on track now as we talk about in everything, give thanks. So many ways, so many times available that we can do that. And God says, give it, give it. He doesn't say, you know, every year, do at least one time give thanks on something. But he wants us to live that way. Now, on the verses down to verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, this was the lepers, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. What did he do? With a loud voice, he glorified God. So that loud voice glorified God, what he said. All right, then look down to verse 18. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger, this one person. So twice here, in verse 15 and 18, God saw fit to say that twice to us, that we might get it. And that's a great thing for us to have. My faith brings glory to God. And that's what I want. And I know all of us want to do that. We want to respond to God. He's responded to us at times that we didn't know how in the world are we going to get out of this. Sometimes it's an accident and you start praying while the car is still in midair going over the hill someplace. And you're ready to respond to God and you want his response back to you right away. You got to tell him that. You got to be on the habit of doing that in your life. Now, let's look at some other ways here of giving thanks to God. These were people there, and you see, here's the thing of it. There was only one came back out of 10, and it wasn't just a little thing the Lord did for those people. He took away their leprosy. Their leprosy. I mean, if there's anything in the world you don't want to get because you know you're not going to get through it, it's leprosy. Leprosy in other countries, it will eat the fingers right off your hand and you're still alive. That's how bad leprosy is. That's the crowd that they were talking about here and God was talking about. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All right. Why don't you keep 1 Thessalonians 5:18 open there, and we may say it again a couple times. Just open back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and let's say that verse together. Now we'll just try to stay together, but you know how some of us are. All right, we're going to start. Here we go. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it's concerning me. God told me that. It's concerning you. God says, give it. Our Lord makes things so clear that even I can understand it. I mean, he's so clear that you have to just look away or get your mind on something else if you don't want to hear that. But God will make it absolutely clear to you. In everything, he says, give thanks. So we see that thankfulness pleases God, and it brings glory to God. So why wouldn't I be a more thankful person? Yet 1 out of 10 with that crowd returned. 1 out of 10 with the leprosy taken away. That didn't even cause them to think of the Lord and turn back and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir. If we live to be 65 years of age, I passed that in 75 miles an hour, I think. If we live to be 65 years old, that's about, in days, that's about 24,000 days. Isn't there something I could do in those days that would bring glory to God? Sure there is. We'll talk about that. Give thanks to God one time in those 24,000 days to bring glory to God. If you do it 8 times, 9 times, 10 times during the day to bring glory to God, your account just goes up and up. But here, at that length of life, if you just said it one time during the week, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for what you've done. Lord, please use me. I mean, God can answer anything you ever pray. God can answer the biggest prayer you haven't even prayed yet. Anything you can pray that would be within God's will, you can pray it. And God can answer it, or he can tell you when it's going to come place or whatever. But let's look at our verses there again. And we just said that's exactly what happened there. And that's a good scripture to use to start off with. It's extremely clear. Extremely clear. So in everything, give thanks. We see that thankfulness pleases God. It brings glory to God. Yet only 1 out of 10 returned. If we live for 65 years, about 24,000 times, we could say, we could bring glory to God just by saying those little words like that. Thank you, Lord. Give our thanks to God one time a day. If we lived 24,000 times, we could bring glory to God. 2 times a day, 48,000 times, 4 times a day, 96,000 times. In just that one way, just say glory to God. And even that brings glory to God. That's what we can do. Then we can add in all the other good things that we can mention that God did for us last week and yesterday and last night before we went to bed. And we're so feeling so bad. And next day I'm over all of that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, dear God. God says, give it. And it's so simple when he tells us those things. But out of that crowd, only one came back. One big reason is we miss the opportunity. A lot of time we forget. I've done that. I've had that problem. It went on for me for quite a while before I recognized it. We were in a great big church and did a lot of projects that took a long time to set up. Because we knew the last one that I did like that, we were expecting 1,400 teenagers to come out to a thing we did at Halloween. I love those times like that. Because I can get on the mic when the inside is dark, you know, and say, hello there. And I had all kind of little stories I would tell. But we would get them there and put them through a trail in the woods and all that, bring them out at our camp facilities and put them in a great big building, and everybody just sat on the floor. And then they would walk in, and it was as scary as it could be. And then finally the lights would come on, and we would present a gospel message to them. And we saw, let's see, the one night we had over 1,400 show up. We had 323, I believe, that came forward to be counseled by people who were waiting outside to help them. But we can do all kinds of things like that to bring glory to God. 2 times a day, 48,000 times, 4 times, 96,000 times. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir. I love you. One big reason we miss the opportunity there, like I said, was sometimes we just forget. And I was on my way home because we were stringing electricity up in the trees and making a path through these woods and all that stuff for getting ready for this big thing. And just literally several of us would go out there and work our heads off just to for that whole day, hardly do anything but work. And then we came home, and one night I thought on my way home, you know, Ab, I don't think you have said even hello to the Lord God. today. I don't think you've said thank you for letting us accomplish what we've accomplished today. We got a long ways toward our goal. I haven't said anything about thank you, Lord. I thank the men that who were with me, but I by the time I got home, I was under some kind of conviction. And I got there, and I got a little piece of paper and wrote out something on there to make me start doing that. Lord, I don't want to forget this. I feel awful, dear God, and I don't want to go through life like this. I don't want to do that. I want to stop this. I want to give glory to you every single time I can think of. And so I wrote myself a little note. Now later, we printed some off. And here's one on give thanks. Give thanks. It's green and black, and it's laminated. It lasts a long time, just small thing. Or enlarge my faith. I always have that one in my pocket. Enlarge my faith, oh God. I've been a Christian for 54 years, and always in ministry. And I still need to pray to God and ask for, Lord, enlarge my faith. Enlarge my faith. Lord, let me give thanks more often than I ever do before. Now, when we're through today, on your way out, the back row on this side over here, they have a whole stack of these. And if you just get one, or you can have one for your husband, one for your wife, I don't mind that. But I don't think we got maybe we got 300 of them back there. And you can have one, take it. And what we do, I made myself a note for the next day, and I had it in my work pants, and I went out there and started going and just thanking God and praising Him for all kind of things. But I just all of a sudden I went for an hour or two without doing that, and it just caught my attention, and I said, and I felt, yo, I was supposed to do something. Oh, yeah, give thanks. Dear Lord, I just stopped and gave Lord a little thanks. That's what we're talking about here. It doesn't take long. I can walk from here to my car out there and give thanks for something. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for my family, that you saved our whole family, dear God. I want to thank you for a godly wife. I want to thank you for Bobby and Jimmy and Sarah and Paul, dear Lord. And I talk that on the way out there and walk back, and I can still talk about it. Lord, please help us all in the ministry. We love you, dear God. Please help us working with these teenagers and children. And you can walk out there and give a 30-second prayer on your way back and forth, because otherwise you're not going to do anything anyway. You're just going to walk out there and come back. So all of a sudden you're giving God glory for that. Pray for your pastor and all the workers here, and all that takes place. So in everything, give thanks is what we're talking about. Only on my way home did I remember that, but I recognize His presence, and it worked out for me. We've been doing that for years and years and years. I always have at least these two cards. I got two more. I won't tell you what those are. You'll know how bad I am in all those four cases. But anyway, I wrote myself a note and just said to give thanks. And that was the day I stopped forgetting. That was the biggest problem I had. I was so busy in something else, I wasn't busy enough to keep my eye on the Lord every now and then and say something to Him that would help Him to know I love Him. One author said maybe we were so caught up with the gift to remember the giver. Sometimes we get a gift and we even forget to, we thank them for it, but we turn around and we forget that God probably made that happen. And we don't even do that. So sometimes it helps us with those things. Now, or perhaps you need a Down syndrome child like we have in our home. They'll teach you to always give thanks. 7 years later after our last birth, God gave us Paul. And he has a brochure. And if you want one, he has them when the service is over. This is really written for those who know people or know of people that have a Down's child. And it's about Down syndrome, but it's also about the Lord at the same time. And having a Down's child is not the end of your life. It certainly not is. One author said, maybe we get caught up in the gift and forget to remember the gifter. We're talking here about those that had leprosy, and they didn't even think of that until they got maybe miles away. Paul is 39 now, and he works at the Arbors, a nursing assisted living home. He loves them, and those people love him. He's been there for 19 years, a Downs child, and they wouldn't fire him for anything. I mean, he's had, I don't know how many times that whole place has, people have quit, come back 6 months, 6 weeks later, they quit, come back. Paul's been there for 19 years. And praise the Lord that he can still be used. Faithfulness is God's will. It's a place that reminds us and pleases God. Now let's look again at our verse here. Let's read again together our key verse here. In everything give thanks, for this is, let me start over. I didn't get you in on this. You tried to, but I was gone. All right, let's read again. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Growing up in my family, I was in a family back in the hills of Tennessee. Oh, I love Tennessee, and I love the hills and the mountains and the caves and all that kind of stuff. But these were back in the 40s and 50s. And I love my family, but I didn't express it much. Hardly ever said, I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. It just seemed like we didn't say it. Some of my buddies I ran around with said, their family don't do that either. They just, just say, hey, how'd it go today? And that's about it. But there's no hugs and kisses in their family. A lot of families were like that back then. In fact, the family that birthed my family was the same way. You loved each other and you cared about them, and you'd give your life if you had to for your children, but you didn't express it. You didn't do a lot of hugs and kisses and things like that before you go out the door every time. Well, we do at our house. I mean, first thing I get up, Mom needs love, Dad. Mom needs love. He's already given her love. He beats me half the time doing that. But love is a great big thing. But about 3 months before my high school graduation, I heard these words over and over. Tell your daddy you love him. Just as clear as a bell. Nobody else heard them. I didn't talk about hearing things like that, but that was as clear as a bell. Tell your daddy you love him. Six words, never more, never less. Tell your daddy you love him. It was so hard to do that. We just didn't do that. We weren't trained that way. We did love them. I love them with all my heart, and I go back to the graveyard every time I can, and it's 360 miles away, and 1 year I went by there six times and went way out of the way just to go there and stand at their grave. I know they're in heaven. They're not laying down there, but I just want to stop and tell myself again the great value of my parents and how much I love them and how much I wish I had told them how much I love them as they went along. But I was about to get off of high school, and so I had a little job at a small store that our folks had in this little bitty town, about 100 people in the whole town, and about 200 back in the woods. And so sometimes I had to take grocery loads out there in the woods. Mom would fix up those loads at the store. It's kind of, back then they called it a jot 'em down store. Much like what's going on now with a lot of, in other words, you call in, they'll jot it down, and they'll bring it to you. But here, back then you can pay whenever you can. Don't do that anymore. But that's how it was. I can remember many times going back in those woods and backing up to a country home and put in $800 or more groceries into that house and walk away without $1 to take back to the store. But they'll pay. All those years, 25, 30 years, I forget how long it was, all those years that went on, and only one person walked away without paying their bill. Not today. You wouldn't do that at all today. But that's what it was. But my dad worked on the railroad, and he loved us, and he worked hard, and he worked during the Great Depression to get his family through all of that. And I didn't know enough to love him real good for that, because I was just being born right at the end of that. But I did love God, but you just didn't walk up and hug him enough, as we know now. And six words, no more, no less. Tell your daddy you love him. And dad was 55 years of age then. And mom said, he told me, if we have another child, we had a girl, if we had another child, he's a boy, he said, I'll never drink another drop from the beer parlor. And when I was born, they had to run up and pull him out of a bar. And he never, ever, one time ever, did he take another drink of anything like that. Not one time. There was love there. He didn't want his boy to grow up like that. But I didn't know how to explain it, you know. But that's the way it was back then. I have to go quickly here. Mom, he passed away. I was in a place about 5 miles over the next mountain. I would go, that was actually a funeral home. And I'd go in there as a summer way, young guy trying to make some money to go to college. And I took Dad out, and it was a snowy day, and I got out and warmed up the old truck, and I was waiting for him to come in. I'd take him around to the store over there, and then I'd go over the ridge to my little job. And I can remember to this day sitting there driving this old truck that we delivered groceries in and turning over there where Dad would be come in and get seated and practicing saying, Daddy, I want you to know I love you, sir. I love you, Daddy. I practiced that lots of times. I remember getting in front of a mirror and watching myself practice it. But when Dad came out, he got in right there, and nothing would come out, so we drove on over. He got out, and by the time he was getting out to go in the store, I looked over this way so he wouldn't see me get out that way, hit him that way, because I had tears rolling down my face. And he got out over there, and he said, last thing I heard was, goodbye, son. Goodbye, son. Oh, what words those are. So I went on over to the place to do my work as a teenager. And the lady was going to give me what type of job I'll do today. And as soon as I walked in the room, the phone rang. She opened it up, and I just stood there, and she got a hold of it and wrote something down on a pad and hit the whistle, and the siren started blaring and everything. She put it down. She said, he looked me right in the eye and said, son, you better go home. You better go home right now. That call was for your dad. Oh, man. I didn't think that was going to happen now. I wasn't even through high school yet. And I remember those words. And all the way over there, when you drove in our place on top of those Tennessee mountains, you'd start down into a little place called Oakdale, and you could see a little hole where there were no trees in the way. 1 mile, all the way, almost a road just all like that to go down there. And when I got closer, I opened my window, and I was just screaming, Dad, I love you, Daddy, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I was going down that hill and went across the river, slid to a slide to go in the parking lot, and I ran in, and he had him on a cot already. And I jumped right on top of him, and I grabbed his head and turned to the side and got screaming into his ear, Daddy, I love you, 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 oh, Daddy, oh, I love you, sir. Too late. Sometimes things are too late. And that's a big one. I've tried to get a lot better over it because I don't want to just say that to myself all the time, but there's a lot of you who maybe have grown up that way. I meet people all the time that have a 30-year-old young man in the family and a 70-year-old dad, and neither one will say that to the other because their parents didn't either. And they won't say anything. So there's no hugs and kisses. But then Paul came along. And you talk about a hug and kisses, man. He's there first, and he'll do a cleanup when you're through, too. But it's we can do all kind of things, see. But just the fact that we're trying to talk about giving love. That's our verse. The Lord says, let me look at some things in the Bible here about being kind and all that. Look what Christ has done for us. Beautiful, all that the Lord did for us. Just listen to these that are in your Bible. You have eternal life. That's in John 3:15. You have everlasting life, John 3:16. Who gave it to you? The Lord did. Shall never die. You shall never die, John 11:26. This is life eternal God gives me in John 17:3. You hath everlasting life in John 3:36. You shall live forever, John 6:28. Unto them eternal life, John 10:28. To us eternal life, John 5:11. You have eternal life, 1 John 5:13. Look at that. God gives you this. You have eternal life, everlasting life, never die, life eternal, everlasting, life forever, eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. God wrote it all. And he's ready to give it to you any moment of your life and every moment of your life. See, the moment we die is the moment we live forever. We just have to worry about living right now and giving God the glory, because we'll do that forever. But we need to do it now. So we give God glory. We're practicing the presence of the Lord is what we're doing. How about the Psalm of David, Psalm 145? It's a beautiful psalm. You ought to read it sometime. My daughter was really liked this. She passed away at the age of 49, wasn't it? Yeah. Been a teacher for 25 years in a Christian school down in Orlando. It was a great school, big school. She did a lot of wonderful things there, and God used her there. But just in that passage, it's just absolutely wonderful what it says. I'll extol thee, my God, O King, and I'll bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I'll bless thee, and I'll praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise the Lord, the works for another, and declare thy mighty acts. I will speak the glorious honor of thy majesty and thy wondrous works. And men shall speak the might of thy terrible or glorious acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men the mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord holdeth all that fall and raiseth up all that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Why can't we be like that? Boy, that's a great passage. I'm trying to memorize a thing. I keep getting so old, I can't keep things in my mind sometimes, but I can still read it. But just look at that. We give God glory. We're practicing the presence of the Lord is what we're doing. How about the Psalm of David there and all of that? 21 verses, and all verses brings glory to God out of that one passage. 50 times it refers to God in 21 verses. Wow, there's a lot of things to praise God about when you start reading the Word of God. We must not go long in our day without giving God glory. Listen to just a few of the promises and I'll stop. A few of the promises that he gives to us. I give unto you, he says, a crown of life, Revelation. A heavenly home in John. A new name in Isaiah. Remember the song? There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Oh, you ought to get to songbook sometimes. I like to do that, and that becomes my devotion. I'll go back to some of those old songs and read the lines and then sing the lines, and what a great way to stay a few moments with the Lord. Answers to prayer in 1 John. He gives the power to serve him in John 14. He gives restoration in 1 John 1, 9. I mean, we can have a total restoration like Paul did if we need to. Guidance for all of life he gives us. He gives us knowledge and wisdom and understanding in Proverbs 3. Assurance of what a great gift in 2 Timothy. He gives a comfort where we're joint heirs with Christ. He gives a fruitful life. He gives peace. He gives victory. He gives protecting care. He gives guidance. In Psalm 119, there are 176 verses that remind us of the value of his word. All this, and I can't come up with a reason to bring glory to God even one time a day. Stop back there and get your little card, and you'll start walking around, and all of a sudden you'll feel something in your pocket. I forget what was it? Oh yeah, give thanks. So I walk from here to there, I'll give thanks. I walk from there back here, I'll give thanks. That's a way to put it into your schedule. But God just goes all through. I'll not stop this. All this, and I can't find anything. Yes, I can. Our verse: in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's bow our heads. And would you just think this through for your own life? You don't have to tell anybody about it. Are you doing pretty good on it? Could you do much better on it? Could you start for the first time on it, like I was for a while, going a whole day trying to serve the Lord and doing everything I could to serve him, and I wasn't even conscious that I wasn't talking to him, praying to him. Let me read this as our prayer, and then Pastor will come. There's one God, one Creator, one Savior, one heaven, and they're all inclusive. Anybody on earth can have Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Worldwide, all nations, all tribes, all kindreds, all people and tongues, Christ is all-inclusive. No other idol, no man who has lived, was, or is like Christ. No other created all things. No other hath breathed the breath of life into man. No other sustains all creation. No other forgives my sin. No other has the power over life or death or resurrection. No other has created heaven. No other died on the cross for all mankind of all ages. No other exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh my, he is my God and my Savior. Is he yours? And do I talk to him every single day of my life? Maybe you just need to come and bow for a moment and let God help you with something like that. Pastor, would you come, please?